And we'll have the ushers come forward. Sorry, I didn't mean to mess with you, Brother Carl. We drafted a new usher. Amen. Good to see you, Brother Brian. All right, Brother Brian, why don't you ask God's blessing on today's offering, if you would.
Father, we're thankful that you've allowed us to be here this morning. God, we ask you to bless this offering and this Sunday school time for all of our teachers and all of our kids and all of the adults. Father, give us a great time in the Lord. Father, let us learn something, not just to hear something, but Lord, be able to take something out with us. Father, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Colossians chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1. For all of those that were able to make it out to the nursing home yesterday, I want to give a thank you. I was not able to be there, was hindered by work, but I heard that there was about 15 or 16 folks from Bethel came out to support that ministry. So thank you so much. Brother Eddie Wilson preached for us. And Brother Tommy, I think the next time I have an opening, I'm going to ask you to come and preach for us, okay? There at the Long Meadow, I'll let you know. Five raised their hands to make a decision for Christ yesterday in the nursing home. Amen. Snatching them from the fire. And so we're excited about those getting saved. And I just want to thank you so much for that. We always meet on the fourth Saturday of the month. Not the last Saturday of the month, but the fourth Saturday of the month, 1:45 up at Long Meadow Nursing Home right behind Pizza Hut. So on your way home, you can stop at Pizza Hut and have lunch. How about that? And or you can have lunch before and then come. It doesn't matter to me. I'm not a picky man. But at Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Let's pray. Our most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this morning. God, we thank you for the great news, Father, the great report from the nursing home yesterday. Father, we thank you for the great report on Brother Bob Bevington. Lord, thank you for what you're doing in his life. Lord, we pray for the many prayer requests, Lord, for the needs in our church. God, I pray for each one. Lord, there are so many, Lord, that need a physical touch from you. Lord, a financial touch from you. Lord, an emotional touch from you. We ask, oh God, that you'd meet the needs. Lord, we pray that you'd bless this day in Jesus' name. Amen. This is the fourth lesson in Colossians on his will. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9, Paul says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding." This is the very first one. Paul prays for seven things for the church, for the Christians at Colossians. He says, there are seven things I'm praying for. The very first thing I'm praying for you is that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will. Now, we discussed a little bit last week, but by a very quick way of review, Paul gives two clarifications on God's will. He said, here's how I want you to know God's will. He says, I want you to be, look at in the very last part of that verse, the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now, we touched on this real quickly last week, so real quickly, just by way of review. How is it that we are to know God's will in wisdom? And what is wisdom as compared to knowledge? Knowledge is simply facts. Knowledge is, I know that something is true. That's a piece of knowledge. Okay, the door is either locked or unlocked. That's a piece of knowledge. Trying to walk through the door when it's locked, that's not wisdom. That's the opposite of wisdom. Waiting till the door is unlocked and then walking through, that's wisdom. Amen. So wisdom is using what you know to be true in a good way. That's wisdom. Wisdom is discerning the best path. So Paul says, I want you to know God's will, but I want you to apply it. See, it's not enough simply to have God's will up here in our brains. We need to have God's will not only in our brains, but in our hearts. In such a way that we live it out. In such a way that we use it rightly. So Paul says, number one, I want you to know God's will in all wisdom, in application. Number two, in spiritual understanding. Paul says, not only do I want you to apply God's will, I want you to know God's will, be filled with God's will in such a way that you have spiritual understanding. I used this illustration last week on tithing. Tithing makes no earthly sense. Anybody say amen to that? Amen. I go to work. I earn a paycheck. I come home and I have bills. Anybody else there with me? Lots of bills? Amen. Bills. And I look at my money that I have, the little bit of money that I have left after the government gets done with it. And I look at all my bills and say, I need every last penny. But God says, no, the first 10%, that's mine. It's not yours. It's mine. In fact, all of it's God's. But he says, what I want back is the 10%. The first 10%, not the 10% that might be left over, but the first 10%. See, that's the difference between physical understanding, earthly understanding, and spiritual understanding. Spiritual understanding is that God said the tithe is the Lord's. It's holy. It should not be taken. All right? So I know, and my Bible says I need to give a tithe unto the Lord. It honors the Lord with my substance. It's obedience under His scriptural commands. And so spiritually, I have to say, you know what? If God said this is what I need to do, then this is what I need to do. And so I write out my tithe check and give it. And you know what? Amazingly, the rest of the month, I make it. Now, do I have to make other sacrifices? Yes, I do. Do I have to make other considerations in how I use whatever money that I have? Yes, I do. I was remember talking with a man many years ago, and he was very much struggling with this issue of tithing. And I said, well, let's talk about what you do, how you spend your money. He's like, man, I just don't know what to spend. And he said, you know, and then about 5 minutes later, we're talking about it. He says, oh, yeah, I just called the cable company, and I signed up for every one of the football games. Only cost me $70. Wow, there's, you know, $70. That's a couple bills. And then as we were going through a little bit later, we were talking about doing a little exercise. And this man had a weight problem, very much of a weight problem. And he said, oh, yeah, I belong to the natatorium. This Cogga Falls natatorium was not a Cogga Falls residence. It cost about $50 a month for that. I said, so when have you been last time? Oh, I haven't been in years. $50 a month. Right out the window. You see, the problem is normally it's not that we don't have enough money. It's how we choose to allocate the money that we have. Now, there are times, and trust me, as we discussed last week, sometimes it's tight. All right. We all know what tight means. Tight. All right. We've been there where it's tight. And sometimes we run short. All right. But many times it's not a matter of income. It's a matter of outgo. And that's the difference between wisdom, physical understanding, earthly understanding, and spiritual understanding. God, Paul says, I want you to know God's will, not with just an earthly understanding, because I want you to look with the eyes of faith and have some spiritual understanding. Now, we talked about this. What is God's will? I have been asked probably many different times, Brother Rob, what's God's will for my life? There are three different areas to God's will. There is the what of God's will. What does God want me to do? There is the where of God's will. Where does God want me to go? Where does God want me to live? Where does God want me to go to school? Where does God want me to work? And the with whom? Who does God want me to marry? That's usually the biggie, all right? When you're dealing with most young people, college kids, kids in high school, who does God want me to marry, all right? My friends, so you have a general will of God, an all-encompassing will of God, the general. That's the what. Everybody ought to be doing the general will of God. And we're going to get into the general will of God this morning as revealed to us in His Bible. The where and the with whom is the specific will of God. All right, there's a general will of God that we all ought to be doing. You guys are in church this morning. You guys have fulfilled the will of God. God says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. All right? See, it's God's will that we come to church. Do you know that you did God's will in your life this morning? Give yourselves a hand. Amen. Amen. You did God's will for you. There's a lot of people around you that didn't do God's will for their life this morning. All right? That's the general will of God. We're going to talk more about those later. Then there's the specific will of God, the where and the with whom. My friends, it is not our responsibility to worry about the specific will of God. We need to focus our lives on the general will of God, doing the what? Doing that which is God's will for my life, the general things, prayer, Bible reading, church attendance, supporting our local church, witnessing, living a separated life, and all the things we're going to go over this morning. That is the general will of God. That is the revealed will of God for you and I. That's the what of the will of God. Do what you know which is right and the will of God. And then God, it is God's responsibility to direct you to the where and the with whom. All right? So we need to take ownership for our responsibility and let God take ownership for His responsibility. The problem is we want responsibility for both. Right? The Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight. You see, if I could see around the corner, it would make my life so much easier. Amen? If I could look just over the horizon in my life and say, God, how are you going to answer my prayers? God, how are you going to direct this situation? Oh, it'd make my life so much easier. Whoa, I don't have to worry about that. But we spend all of our time, all of our energy, all of our effort worried about the where and the with who. And so we leave off doing the what. We were so concerned about where am I supposed to go in the specifics, the nitty gritty of where I'm supposed to do and where I'm supposed to go and who I'm supposed to be with and blah, blah, blah. That we leave off the one thing that is our responsibility. Doing the will of God for our life. Doing the revealed will of God for our life. It has been as you study the Word of God, and it has been also my personal experience, that when I dedicate myself to doing the what of the will of God, that which I know God wants me to do, God takes care of directing my path. Can anybody say amen to that? As you study the lives of the men and women of the Scriptures, you will see that they were in great straits many times. I've been studying the life of Joseph. What an example of faith. You study the ups and the downs in his life. He stayed faithful to do what God wanted him to do. And God directed his path to the where God wanted him to be. Now, it wasn't always pleasant. Wasn't always exciting. But God revealed that God had a specific will for Joseph's life. And God meant every single one of those steps in his life for good. And I believe God had a purpose and a plan through every one of those steps in his life. Do you realize if Joseph had never gone to jail, he would have never met the Pharaoh's cupbearer. And if he would have never met the Pharaoh's cupbearer, he would have never been known to Pharaoh, and the whole world would have perished in the famine. So it was God's will for Joseph to go to jail. Now, he went as an innocent man. It's never God's will for you to commit a crime and go to jail. But it was in God's perfect will for his life. You say, Brother Rob, do you mean it was God's will for Joseph to go to jail? That certainly seems to be the case in that situation. Worry about the what of God's will and let God deal with the where of God's will. I'll give you this quick illustration and we'll move on. One day, my wife and I were having lunch and we were up in the cafeteria where we work. And we can overlook the parking lot. One of the parking lots that we have there. And there was a guy, and you can always tell the people who are running a little bit late. They're driving through the parking lot at about 95 miles an hour. Because most of our departments clock on right on time, or you get a tardy, and you get so many tardies, you get an occurrence, you get so many occurrences, you get fired. All right? And most people are on the skinny of right about getting an occurrence or getting fired, as I've looked at people's attendances. And so people are bombing through the parking lot, and there was a one parking space, and it was tucked around. The guy had to go, the way the flow goes, you have to go all the way down, and then there's a U-turn. You come all the way back up the other leg of the U, and then it bridges back together. But there was one parking space that was hidden between two big vehicles, and it was behind a tree. So I know the guy didn't see it. And have you ever had the experience where you were running late for something, and you needed a close parking spot, and your gut was churning because you had that awful feeling you were not going to get that parking space? Has anybody been there? All right. You all know what I'm talking about? All right. And I could tell this person was late for work because I looked at my watch. It was just a few minutes before the top of the hour, so assuming where they had to be to work. And I looked at my wife, and I said, you know what? I know that man's future. Because I could see him coming down the other side. And if I could look close enough, I would have seen the beads of sweat running down their head, because typically, if you don't find a spot next to the door, you have to drive around the building, then around the second building, then you have to drive past the first lot, the second lot, and you have to go into the third lot, all right? We call it Booneyville. And it's a little over a quarter miles away from the doors, and I'm not exaggerating, all right? The very last spots are a good quarter mile away from the doors, all right? And it takes you far longer than 3 minutes to walk in. But I looked at my wife, and I said, you know what? I know that person's future. And I said, he's going to come around that corner, come around the corner, come up the hill, and just before he has to make that gut-wrenching turn to go back out into Booneyville, he's going to find the one parking spot that's open. And sure enough, he comes flying around the corner on two wheels and comes up on the other corner because he's now thinking he's going to have to head out to the back lot. And he found that one parking space. And I said, I looked at my wife, and I said, you know, that's, I would imagine, a little bit how God sees it. That person is, he was driving his car, he couldn't see the parking space, he's thinking the worst, he's thinking he's going to have to go all the way out there, run all the way in, and probably still be late, and still get in trouble. I said, but God knew that he had a parking space ready for him. And I said, you know what, I wasn't nervous for that guy, because I knew what he was going to do in about 35 seconds. Do you know why God's not nervous about our future, like we're nervous about our future? Because God knows what spot he's created for you. God knows the spot that he's opened for you. And my friends, if I can exhort you with anything with the will of God today, it is this. Focus your life on doing the what of the will of God, and let God worry about the where of the will of God. Amen? Let's move on. Now, how do I divine the will of God? How do I tell what is the will of God? Do I need to go to Madam Chloe? All right. Do I need to dial 1-800 Madam Chloe on the television? All right. No. You know what? Madam Chloe went out of business. I always want to call her and say, did you see that one coming? All right. You should have seen that one coming. You're telling me you can see the future. You should have saw that one coming. You know, the IRS came in. It was a big mess. And I always wondered, did she see that one coming? You know, because if she can't see something like that coming, how's she going to know what's going on in my life? But that's just an aside. How are we to divine the will of God? How are we to tell the will of God? Well, there are three ways that God has given to us to tell the will of God. Take your Bibles this morning and turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter, all the way in the back of your New Testament. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16. This is an amazing portion of Scripture. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. We're speaking here, Peter's speaking here, of the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter, James, and John, Jesus took them up onto the mount, and right in front of their eyes, he was transfigured into his heavenly likeness. The Bible says his face became like the sun. His garments became whiter than any fuller could white. A fuller was someone who bleached out clothing, got them all white and shiny. And he began to, his countenance was like the sun to look at. And this is what he's deciding. And we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. Catch verse 19. Peter's saying, look, we went up to the mountain. Jesus transfigured in front of us. We heard the words of God from heaven. He says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. Peter says, I have heard the voice of God. Now, that'd be pretty... Now, if you heard the voice of God, would you be pretty sure that would be God's will for your life? Yeah, amen? How many of you would say, oh, God, just tell me? All right, I know I've cried out that a few times. God, if you just tell me. Peter says, I've heard the word of God. He says, but I've got something a little bit more sure for you. Verse 19, for we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye would take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Verse 20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the what? Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The very first place you're going to find the most sure word of prophecy, the more sure word of God's will, is right here in the Bible. The 1611 King James Bible. My friends, do you want to know where you can find God's will for your life? Right here. Do you know why it is so important? The reason we make it such a huge issue of having the right Bible? Because in here is contained the general will of God for your life. Now, I don't know about you, but if I went to the doctor and he gave me the option of two vials of medicine, one that was 100% pure cure, and the other one was about 80% cure and about 20% junk. 20%, he's like, you know, I've got something that I've been working on, and it may help, but I'm not sure. Which one are you going to choose? I'm going to go for the what? 100%, all right? Folks, we need a 100% Bible. Not a 99.9% Bible, a 100% Bible. That's what you have here in the preserve. 1611, King James Bible. You have every word of God. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word of God. Now, this is not the right place to go into all the differences, but may I just assure you that this is the word of God. If you doubt that, you need to research it. You need to get on your knees and pray about it. You need to find God's will. And you'll find that this is the word of God. Number one, you'll find the word of God, the will of God, in the word of God. Number two, you'll find the will of God by the Spirit of God. Turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 14. Romans, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. Number one, I'll find the will of God in the word of God. Number two, I'll find the will of God for my life. This is dealing more with the specific will of God by the Spirit of God. Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. My friends, there are many specific things in your life that I cannot give you guidance on. Very minute decisions of which specific way does God want you to go. Maybe it's a decision between two cars. Maybe it's a decision between two houses. Maybe it's a decision between two different things, both equally as good, neither one bad. All right, if there's a decision between good and bad, obviously you choose the good. But sometimes you have to get down to between a decision between two things equally as good. That is the specific will of God, and that's when you need to say, oh God, help me to make the right decision. I'm asking you, I'm humbling myself, and asking you to lead me by your Holy Spirit. All right? The Bible says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. All right? You'll find the will of God in the Word, the general will of God in the Word of God. The specific will of God you'll find by the leading of the Holy Spirit of God. Number three, you'll find the will of God through the authority that God has put in your life. Take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17. There are many verses I could have gone to. I chose this specific one because I think it's all-encompassing. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17. This deals specifically with pastoral authority. But in a wider sense, I believe it applies to all the authority God has put in our life. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. How do I find the will of God? God has set authority in your life for the will of God. For children, that authority is your parents, all right? If your parents, the will of God for your children's life will come through a good portion of that will come through you. That's why you need to be led by the Spirit. You need to be number one in the Word of God so that you know the will of God for your life. Number two, you have godly principles in which to counsel the children that God has given you. But God works through authority. God blessed my life when I got under the authority of my parents as a grown young man, as 18, 19, 20 years old, when I said, Mom and Dad, I want to submit myself under your authority. I know I'm a man. I know I can make my own decisions. But I believe God honors authority. And so I would always run things past my mom and dad. I'd even run things past my grandma and grandpa. Why? They have been given wisdom and authority by God over my life. If you are in school, it is God's authority, God's will for your life that you obey those people in authority over you. If you have neither parent nor master or employer over you, then God has set a spiritual leader over you. And if you have questions in your life, it is always a good idea to at least run those ideas past your pastor. God can speak through authority. And God does speak. I should rephrase it. God does speak through authority. Now, does that mean the pastor is infallible? He speaks ex cathedra in the place of God? No, it doesn't. It means that God does speak through authority. As you study the Scriptures, God works through authority. All right? So where do I find the will of God? I find it in the Word of God. I find it in the Spirit of God. And I find it in God's authority. Now, what is the general will of God for my life? We've gotten up to this point. You say, what does God want me to do? Well, let's look here. Number one, the first thing it's God's will for is for everybody to be saved. Take your Bibles, turn to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. 2 Peter, these are all very short, very simple, and so we won't spend a lot of time on them. But 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. The Bible says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Number one, what's God's will for my life? That I be saved. That's God's will for my life. And if you're saved in here, you've completed step number one to the general will of God. Anybody saved in here this morning? You know you're on your way to heaven. You've trusted in Jesus Christ. You've completed the first step of the will of God. Give yourselves a hand. Amen. Amen. That's nice to know when you, man, got one down. One out of seven. That's better than nothing, right? Amen. Now, I want to give you a little aside. This is a sub note off of this. Turn to John chapter 1 and verse 13. This is just off of verse 1. We know that it's God's will that everyone be saved. John chapter 1 and verse 13 shows us God's will for how they be saved. John chapter 1, Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 13. Which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. My friends, it is through the power of God that every single person is born again through faith in Jesus Christ. It is the will of God that you be saved. And you say, well, how do I be saved? How am I to be saved? It is through Jesus Christ. It is God's will. Look at what it says there. Look back up to verse 12. I'm sorry, I should have read verse 12. But as many as received Him, who's that Him there? That's Jesus Christ. To them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Why is it that we must be saved through Jesus Christ? Because it is God's will that all who would be saved will be saved through Jesus Christ. That's God's will. God could have willed we'd be saved some other way. He's God, right? Amen? But God said, I have a desire that every man and every woman, every boy and every girl be saved. And God says, it is my will that they be saved through Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, because there is only one will of God when it comes to salvation. Now, number two. So we know that number one, it's God's will that everybody be saved. So when you meet somebody on the street, it's God's will that they be saved. The Calvinist has it wrong. The Calvinist says that if you're going to be saved, you'll be saved. If you're not going to be saved, there's no sense bothering. It'll be okay. You're not going to be saved. It'll be all right. You're going to burn in hell. No, it's God's will that everybody be saved. That's why we're not Calvinistic here. Number two, turn to the Gospel of John. You're already in the Gospel of John. John chapter 13, verse 34. John chapter 13 And as I understand, the bell is broken, so if it gets to be 20 after, let me know. John chapter 13 and verse 34, the dismissal bell downstairs. John chapter 13 and verse 34, Jesus speaking here, he says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another." You say, "Brother Rob, but that doesn't say the will of God." Well, when Jesus, let me ask, is Jesus God? Yes or no? Resounding yes. When Jesus, who is God, gives you a commandment, now is a commandment a suggestion or an order? An order. When God gives you an order, do you believe that that would be what he wants you to do? Yes. So when Jesus says, "A new commandment I give unto you," guess what? That just, bing, became the will of God for your life. All right? Let me help you out there. It is the will of God that we love one another. If you have any questions on the will of God versus the commandment of God, I'm going to let you do this. Compare 1 Timothy 1:1 with Colossians 1:1. Not now. That'd be your homework if you want to. But number three, what's the will of God for my life? Turn your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 5. So number one, we know that it's God's will that everybody be saved. Number two, we know that it's God's will that we love one another as Christ has loved us. Number three, in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 5. "And this they did, not as we had hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God." Number three, a life that is dedicated to God. A life that is dedicated to God. That's God's will for your life. You say, "God, what do you want for my life?" He wants it all. Simply put, he wants your all. He wants you to love him with all of your mind, with all of your heart, and all of your soul. God wants you to want him. God wants you to get up every morning and say, "Oh God, thank you for another day that you've given me. God, help me to live this day to the fullness of your will." God wants you to say, "God, I thank you for loving me today and giving me breath this morning to get out of, and strength and health to get out of bed this morning. God, help me to live for you." You see, a life dedicated to God isn't some mysterious, ethereal, spooky thing. You don't have to put on robes and go pray and meditate for 5 hours and, memorize the entire Bible. That's not maybe what God wants for you. God certainly doesn't want you to go put on robes and meditate for 5 hours a day, okay? God says you ought to, God's given you a family and a job and a house and some responsibilities. It says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel," all right? The monastery is nowhere in the will of God for anyone's life. The will of God is not mysterious and spooky. It's giving your heart to God every day of your life and wherever God has called you to be. Number four, turn to Ephesians 6:6. Ephesians 6:6. The fourth thing that we find in the scriptures that is the will of God for my life. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 6. "Not with eye service as men pleasers." That means that eye service means doing it while you can be observed. Ever see somebody work hard when the boss is watching, and as soon as the boss isn't watching, they don't work hard? That's serving with eye service. Ephesians 6:6. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Number four, it is God's will that we serve him as he's called us with all of our heart. God has given you a family. God wants you to dedicate your life to that family. If God has called you to this church, to Bethel Baptist Church, or if you're listening by way of tape or CD, and you're in another church, a good fundamental, Bible-believing, Baptist, independent, fundamental, King James-believing church, then God's will is for you to serve that church with all your heart. If God has given you a job to do, it is God's will that you do that will, his will, with all your heart. The problem with people today is they are lackluster at best. Half-hearted effort, not only in their family, not only in their job, but in their service for Christ. Imagine where we would be today as a church if I had people busting down my door every Sunday. Brother Rob, I want to be a Sunday school teacher. Brother Rob, I want to work in Super Church. Brother Rob, I want to come. I got a call from a couple of young people yesterday. Said, hey, we're coming on visitation and we're going to come to the nursing home, but is there anything that we can do in the meantime? Man, if I had people busting down, you know how much we could get done. People would do the will of God with all their heart. Number four. Number five. Turn to the book of 1 Thessalonians. We're going to be the next two out of the book of 1 Thessalonians. All the way towards the back of your Bible. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 3. You say, Brother Rob, none of these are really weird or spooky or God doesn't want me to go out and fast and, you know, give my life and be a missionary. No, that's, you know, let God deal with that. This is the things that God wants us all to do. Be saved, to love one another, have a life that's dedicated to God. Doing His will doing God's will from the heart. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. It is God's will that you live a sanctified life. See, that takes care of all of the specifics right there. A sanctified. Sanctified means set apart. Should I watch? All right. If you're going to say, you know what, I want to do something, all right? I want to say we're going to, sit down and watch TV, all right? You and the family are going to get together, we're going to sit down and watch TV. It is God's will that we live a sanctified life, all right? If you turn on the television and they're cussing and swearing, is that a sanctified experience? No, all right? You barely can turn on the news anymore. I would encourage you to get the Weather Channel. It's about the only channel they don't curse on, all right? And, but you say, you know, should I drink? Well, is that living a sanctified life? Is that living a life set apart to God that gives glory and honor to Him? Should I smoke? You know, nowhere in the Bible it says, thou shalt not smoke camels. All right? It doesn't say that. It's not the 13th commandment. But it does say we should live a life that is separated unto God. If I'm sitting there in my car smoking a cigarette, do I give a glory unto God? No, I'm not. And I'm not trying to make fun of people. It's a terrible, terrible addiction. People have been lied to by the tobacco companies. But you know what? Living a life of sanctification, saying, Lord, I want my life to please you. God, I want my life to glorify you. That'll answer all the little nitty-gritty questions about what I should do, what I should watch, where I should go, and who I should be with. That takes care of it right there. You simply have to ask, is this glorifying to God? Because it's God's will that we live a sanctified life. Next, number 6, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. The Bible says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. The Bible says, in everything. All right? That means no matter what situation you're in, say, God, well, they fixed the bell. Praise God. And they're ringing it twice. That means I'm done. He says, in everything, give thanks. Now, there are many situations I've found myself in my life that I am not thankful for, all right? Like when you get pulled over for speeding or when you get pulled over for doing something that you didn't do, all right? I'm not thankful for that, but God says I should be thankful in that. Do you know why? Because in Matthew 18:28, he says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. No, I'm sorry, that's the wrong scripture. I'm sorry, that was not... Different scripture. All right, I'm sorry. He says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Why is it that we can be thankful in everything? Because Jesus Christ is with us in and through everything. Last one, number 7. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 15. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 15. 1 Peter chapter 2. That's right. No, Matthew 28:18 says, lo, I'm with you always. I'm sorry. Get myself all mixed up here. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 15. 1 Peter 2:15. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Well-doing. It is God's will that you do well. It is God's will that you do good. You read the whole... If you're interested in good works, read the book of Titus. The book of Titus is all about God saving His people to do good works. Not saving them through good works, but saving them to good works. He said, Brother Rob, those are so simple. You're right. The will of God is not hard, but sometimes it is difficult. Amen? Doing the right thing. This is the will of God. Worry about the what, and let God worry about the where. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this morning. God, we thank you for your precious word. Help us, Lord, to dedicate our life to your holy will for us. Father, we thank you, Lord. We ask you to bless the hour to come. In Jesus' name, amen. Next week, come back. We're going to continue in Colossians chapter